Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Happy Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. Say hello, Mary Pat.
Hello, hello.
Oh, man, we're glad you're with us today. Show of hands, how many people saw the TV show Tuesday at 7:30 p.m.?
I'm raising my hand.
I know. I'm so excited about this thing that we have given rebirthed on WFII.
Yes, a good birth, I think.
New season. We do hope you tune in every Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. WFII, and catch the TV show. It's a lot of fun with myself and Paul Petit as your co-hosts. And today, oh my goodness, we have had a string of Saturdays of amazing guests. Don't you think so?
Oh, I agree.
Today is no different. I'm going to introduce you now to Anthony T. Benedette. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, I live with that pain.
What's that?
De Benedette.
I live with
the pain of my last name. Yes, De Benedette.
De Benedette. I like it. It's kind of got quite the little syncopation to it. I like it.
You are kind.
Well, I'm married to a Pat Patterson, so, mixing that up.
You know, that one's... There you go.
No, you're an MD, which means you're a doctor.
Correct.
How long have you been in practice, and what kind of practice?
Sure. I am a gastroenterologist. I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I have been practicing for 5 years, but I feel like I've been training my whole life.
Now, what makes you say that?
Yeah, right. I trained at the University of Michigan,
okay.
And I was there for about 10 years, and then I kind of flipped over to private practice, which is what I've been doing for 5 years.
Okay.
But all part of that, mm-hmm. Was kind of, this feeling that my life was kind of blurring into this frazzled mosaic, which I don't think is exclusive to people who are in healthcare.
Right.
I think it's kind of what's happening right now in our times. Everybody feels a little bit intense, and everything kind of feels crazy.
Yeah.
For us in our middle years.
Right. Amen to that. And you have written, you've written a couple of books. The one that we are here to talk about, well, we'll probably talk about them both. But first and foremost, we're going to talk about your latest creation. It's called Playful Intelligence, The Power of Living Lightly in a Serious World. Why'd you write this book?
Here's what I would say, and it kind of goes off a little bit of what I was saying, is that my life kind of collided with what I call Barry's crossroad, and I'll explain what that means in a minute. And it's basically, I think, a crossroad that we all come to at some point, honestly. And it's kind of when you find yourself doing everything you can to endure adulthood while wondering whether you're actually enjoying it.
No, I think I can pinpoint my moment. Mary Pat, can you pinpoint your moment?
You betcha.
I think we as older Americans get that.
Yeah. And so, everything kind of was this, frazzled mosaic of kind of busyness and exhaustion and perfectionism. And what I came to realize was that kind of the playful parts of my personality were being erased, is the word I use, really.
Yikes.
By the seriousness of daily adult life. So, in the early 1900s, and this gets back to why I call it Barry's Crossroads, adulthood was similarly overtaking a Scottish playwright by the name of James Barry. And so he decided to write a play about a boy named Peter who never wanted to grow up,
mm-hmm.
which we all know.
Yeah.
And that was his attempt to kind of hold on to his childhood wisdom in a way that he thought was, escaping him amid the craziness of his adult life. So I didn't write a play, but I went on a quest.
Yes.
To kind of learn how playfulness actually affects adult life in today's age. And interestingly, so I basically began observing and interviewing people who live with a lighter step and who live a little more on the playful side of the coin. And interestingly, a lot of them were my patients, and a lot of them were older adults. And I think that's an interesting point, because I think us in our middle years can benefit a lot from the wisdom of older adults who kind of have been through the thick of things and know kind of what's important in life and what's not.
There's a wisdom
if
there.
We're listening closely. So I started listening closely. I did. And I also searched, a bunch of disciplines like psychology and sociology and neuroscience, and really tried to sort through what's actually happening when we are being playful in our lives in terms of how it's actually benefiting us And that is what, that became Playful Intelligence.
Okay.
And that's what it's about. Yeah.
I like it. So go ahead.
Yeah,
so what are some of the ways that you've seen, you know, you mentioned that you've seen some of this playfulness in your patients and some older adults. What are some of those examples?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the biggest thing that happened was, as I was interviewing and as I was researching, was I realized that it's not really these people who kind of live on a little bit light with a little lighter step is kind of the phrase I use. It's not that they're playing more necessarily. And that's interesting because that it's that they just live a little more playfully in their behaviors,
uh-huh.
is how I would say it.
Huh.
And it's that goes along with kind of national polling data that shows that we really, if you look at leisure time, so leisure time's tracked by a lot of different research companies,
mm-hmm.
including Gallup. If you look at leisure time, we actually have about the same amount of leisure time that we've had for decades. So we all spend about 5-ish hours a day, plus or minus, doing things that we kind of want to do.
I wish.
And whether that's playing,
I feel like that's like way more time than I really have to do what I want to do. But, you know, I think when you're a parent, that's kind of the way that rolls.
So that number, you know, the time that we have to our personal time really hasn't changed much on average. But when you look at, are we feeling more stressed? Are we feeling more anxious? Well, all of that those kind of data points have been increasing. So it's not really that we're playing any less. And this is what I saw in my research is probably that we just aren't, that we're really kind of taking ourselves too seriously.
I was just going to ask you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take ourselves a little too seriously. You know, we're picking up the stresses of that. If we're less serious,
and then,
less stress, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, so what I found was that it's really not about necessarily taking life less seriously. It's really about kind of looking at ourselves and saying, okay, you know, do I really have to be this intense or this serious about every decision that I make in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And really, so what it came down to is there were five playful behaviors. So playfulness is defined by its behaviors in sociological research. And there were five that I found that kind of came out and had a lot of benefits in our lives. And those five are imagination, sociability, humor, spontaneity, and wonder.
Well, let's pick that apart. Let's start with imagination. Let's talk about each one, can we?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay, let's do it.
So, you know, well, we will get to each of those. But the big thing to keep in mind, and one big take home for your listeners, is that these playful behaviors work very differently now that we're adults than they did when we're kids.
True. Good point.
So. Yeah, and I think that's kind of the key, and I think that's maybe where James Berry was a little mistaken. it's not that our childhood wisdom escapes us in a lot of it's more that it's just trying to change, and it's also not like, you know, you hear this phrase, you have to go find your inner child. I don't think that's it either. I think it's you have to kind of
adapt,
let your inner child grow and adapt,
mm-hmm.
in a different way, and so. So for example, imagination. You know, imagination used to kind of power our, you know, backyard treasure hunts or our puppet shows or our dress obsessions.
Sure.
And now really, and the people that I interview and the research that I did really serves two big functions in our adult life. And one is to be able to reframe problems that come our way. Reframe problems. So that is. So, you know, the notion of reframing, so when something happens, something comes your way, a problem, being able to think of that in a different way is a very important coping skill. And our imagination, from a neuroscience perspective, is clicking on all fronts when we actually are deliberately doing that. I give the example in the book of it's actually a historical example of when AT&T was breaking up, essentially, in the early 1980s.
I remember
that. So you had Yeah, you had all of these. You had, which, you know, was the right thing to happen, was the, it was basically the largest corporate upheaval in American history. And there was a great study that looked at Illinois Bell. You know, you had all these baby bells.
The baby bells, yep.
Yeah. And Illinois Bell was great because it was studied from the standpoint of stress, is what happens to people when a lot of stress hits them all at once. And what they found was that those who really thrived during that major, major upheaval, I mean, you're talking your boss is somebody different every day, and you're talking your friends are getting laid off all the time. And that they found that the people that were really able to thrive during that were able to use their imagination and reframe the whole upheaval, which, you know, and actually think about it in a different way than most other people were thinking about it. And really, it's, you know, you hear about, you know, find the silver lining or make lemon out of lemonade. It's not really that. It's more, I would say it's a deeper sense to it. It's more of a looking at the problem and trying to, you know, some people say create another box.
Compartmentalize.
Or think out of the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, compartmentalize.
Or think outside
but
the box.
I would
box.
Say that these people who really thrived during that time really were able to just think of entire new boxes, like create new boxes, whether that means that they were retooling their skills for another job, or whether that means that they're just excited to kind of see what's going to happen with this new, you know, this new structure for, you know, a company that had been around for a century.
Got it. We are speaking with Anthony DeBenedet, and his book is called Playful Intelligence, The Power of Living Lightly in a Serious World. I want to, you know, we've talked about imagination. When we come back in our next segment, let's tackle sociability, humor, spontaneity, and wonder. Great information so far, Doctor.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Keep it tuned right here to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
All right, welcome back. We're speaking with Anthony DeBenedet, Dr. Anthony DeBenedet. He's written a book. Well, he's written a couple of books. The latest one is Playful Intelligence, The Power of Living Lightly in a Serious World. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. The serious world we live in, the stress we put on ourselves, and your book basically talks about counterbalancing that seriousness of adulthood. We talked about imagination and reframing problems. I like that. Creating a new box or compartmentalizing. Let's go through, again, these five playful qualities that you have in your book that help us to be a little more playful in all this seriousness.
Most definitely. So the next, just to wrap up imagination, the other big thing is empathy, is that we use our imagination now, the playful behavior of imagination now in our adult lives, to really understand, you know, and to walk alongside someone else from an empathy standpoint. So sociability, interesting, sociability was a fascinating one to kind of explore and dive into, mainly because we often think in kind of our daily lives that we're either extroverts or introverts. And what I found playfully intelligent people to be is they lean more on the extrovert side of the world, but there's also introverts who are also sociable in a playfully intelligent way. And what I mean by that is that often these folks who, you know, are living a little more on the playful side of the coin, they approach, it's the way they approach their interactions with others. And what I mean by that is that there was two big themes that came out in my research. And one was there really is a resistance to first impressions. In a playfully intelligent social exchange, first impressions are usually held in check to some extent. You know, your brain is basically trying to do everything it can to put this person that you're looking at in some type of a category or a box. It's using stereotypes. It's using all these crazy things to try to say, I know exactly what this person's like immediately. Hmm. And playfully intelligent people really resist that, or they just, it doesn't happen that that fast, I would say. And that's good, because sometimes, most of the time, our first impressions are right, but when they're wrong, they can be really wrong.
Yeah.
And it can kind of destroy, you know, an opportunity for a mutually beneficial exchange.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, you can't help your first impression.
Yeah,
you just can't help that. I mean, that's just a
you
thing.
Can't, but you can at least check it, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can. Sure.
You can help it, and then also check it.
Yeah. Maybe regulate, and then look at it through different eyes, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and the other thing though is that there's a lot of humility and humbleness going on in people who I would classify as playfully intelligent, and that there's a lot of self-deprecation. There's not a lot of bragging. In fact, there's zero usually.
Hmm.
There's a lot of passing credit to others. And that's all part of kind of this notion of powerless communication and humility, which taking from a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, Adam Grant, who talks a lot about powerless communication. And I found a similar parallel there in playfully intelligent folks who are being sociable, is that there isn't, it's not a lot about them, which is refreshing. And that's, you know,
I agree.
I think, why a lot of their exchanges are light. And a lot of that is also because they take themselves a little less seriously. So
they're probably better listeners too. Really good listeners.
Exactly.
That'd be my guess.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
Don't have to talk all the time.
So humor, you know, is probably the most obvious playful behavior. When people think of playfulness, they think of humor. Is, you know, what behavior describes playfulness? Most people would say humor. And humor has been dissected a lot over the years in both science and sociology and psychology. And what I would say about humor is kind of going back to that notion that humor when we were kids was all about fun. And it can still be, it still is to some extent about fun when we're adults, but it also has these also two other important benefits that I kind of latched onto in the research for the book, and that is it's a connecting force in our relationships. I give the example in the book of one of the first viral videos, which was two brothers, young brothers, where it's called Charlie Bit My Finger.
Oh, I've seen
that.
Where
one of the brothers,
online, yeah. It's very funny.
And in that scenario,
Charlie Bit My Finger. They're little British kids.
Right, right.
It's hilarious.
Exactly. In that scenario, humor was a connecting force between two kids. And it is sometimes like that in childhood, but often it's just about we're having fun. We're playing as kids and we're laughing. But as adults, that humor becomes a really big part of our relationships, whether that's our partners, whether that's our work relationships or our friendships. And I think that the reason that is that as we get older, we're trying to shore up our social capital in a lot of ways. We're trying to, you know, find out who's toxic in our life and who's somebody we'd like to be around. And I think humor's can be a good way to kind of figure that out sometimes.
You know what?
Are you laughing at similar things?
Yeah, Dr. Benedette. Yes, no, that's an excellent point. I joke with I have a girlfriend and I think her husband is hilarious. She doesn't. She thinks my husband is hilarious. I don't. So I think about that
great.
When you're talking about humor. It's part of it's because we've heard it before. You know, really? You're going to tell that one again, you know, kind of a thing.
Totally true.
But
totally true.
No, humor, that's a big deal. But you know, when you can laugh at the same things. And I look at that sometimes with movies. I'm like, I look at girl and boy humor and I'm like, what boys think is hysterical, I will roll my eyes at half the time. It's, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're just like, really?
Exactly.
That's funny. You know, it's, I call it like the Three Stooges syndrome. Makes me crazy. And guys just think that's hysterical. So, but I get it. Humor.
Totally.
Humor is a part of this
connection
and all that. Let's get to spontaneity. We're running out of time.
Go ahead. Yeah. We're running out of time. Shoot. Yeah. So the other big thing is resiliency, which we see a lot in medical and healthcare, how humor comes in at the most stressful times of our life to give us a little break from. Spontaneity. I think the one thing, there's a couple of points. I'll focus on one. The one thing is that when we're living more spontaneously, the nice benefit of that is that we actually live more generously. And there's a lot of great benefits to generosity. So, but if we're there's decent research, and I found this to be true too, that if you you're more likely to give, and it doesn't necessarily mean financially generous. It can be any kind of generous, your time, if you're living a little more spontaneously in your life. And that can be little things. Like that can be, I'm going to take a different route home to work today, you know, route home from work today, or I'm going to sit at a different chair at the dinner table. I mean, these little things that can give us breaks of spontaneity from the rigidity of our routines can really help a lot.
I like that, yeah.
Wonder is my favorite.
Okay, tell me
wonder
why.
Wonder is my favorite. Yeah, wonder is my favorite because my favorite playful behavior of the playfully intelligent, and that's because when we were kids, wonder was a way to kind of launch us into orbits of learning. You know, kids are very curious. They're wondering, you know, everything is new, and they're learning through that wonder. But as adults, it's the exact opposite. Wonder is a great grounding force in our life. And in the sense of it urges inaction rather than action and allows us time to regroup and reflect and kind of become more inspired and supportive. And the way it kind of does that, it just kind of stops us. It stops us in our day. And what I found in my research was that people who have a playful intelligence about them, they have a low threshold for wonder. So they don't need necessarily the Grand Canyon or a breathtaking piece of art or a, you know, a masterful human performance to actually be, you know, come to awe. It's smaller things, and they kind of become observers of their own experience, and they find wonder in those smaller moments.
Very good.
And that's, yeah, and there's some decent research on the benefits of that from a health standpoint and from a mental health standpoint, but wonder is my favorite.
Dr. DeBenedet, do you have a final thought for us as we close out the show today?
I do. Yeah. You know, I would say that as you're going through your life and as it feels like this, the intensity and the seriousness is coming down hard, think about ways that these kind of behaviors can help you really survive that grind.
I like that.
It's not necessarily about being goofy all the time. It's not about, that's not what it is. It's really being just aware that these behaviors can do a lot more than we really maybe give them credit for sometimes.
I like that, an awareness. If you'd like to pick up the book, it is called Playful Intelligence, The Power of Living Lightly in a Serious World. We've been speaking with Dr. Anthony DeBenedet. Is this available on Amazon? Is that the best place to find it?
Yes, okay, for sure.
Okay.
Amazon. The release date is May 1st.
Oh, okay. So, okay, cool.
Yeah, but it is available on Amazon. Okay. For pre-order right now.
Very good, very good. Well, thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend. And maybe we'll speak again when you write that next book.
Sounds great. Thanks again. Take care,
thank
guys.
Thank you, Doctor.
Take care.
You bet.
You're welcome.
And you are listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. Boomer Radio on Freedom 95. This is Julie Patterson.
Thanks, Tommy. I'm going to think about a little more humor and spontaneity and wonder in my life, you.
Oh, of course.
I understand what he's saying, you know.
Well, you got to take everything a little lightheartedly.
Yes. You know, a little self-deprecation never hurt anybody, right?
Exactly.
So thanks again to Dr. Benedet for being on the show today. So I'm very excited that Boomer TV is in a new season.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you watch, maybe you haven't heard that we've relaunched at WFYI. 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday nights. So what's coming up on our next show, Mary Pat?
Well, let's back up for just a moment. One of the best parts of the show is the host, which would be...
We have two hosts.
Paul Petit.
He's wonderful.
Julie Patterson. Yeah. I like her, too.
It's a good... I like her, well, most of the time. Yeah. I think we have decent chemistry. We've been in radio before together, and he's just a great guy. One of the best people I know. And if
you guys know Paul, hilarious.
So we have a good time. Mm. And so, yes, we do co-host the show, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
The segments, I think, are very interesting and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did a piece about the radio show, which I hope you saw that piece. You may not have. Can we see the segments?
Yeah, they're going to be on the website. They probably already are on the website.
IndieBoomer.com?
IndieBoomer.com, exactly.
All right. but we want you to watch the show.
Oh, yes, of course.
On Tuesday. So here's your big tease. What's going to be on the show, Mary Pat?
Well, I'm really excited. Well, you guys all know Gary Dick, Inside Indiana, business for the state of Indiana. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Real excited, too. This is cool. It's electric bikes.
I am fascinated by these.
Yes.
You want one.
I do.
I have a road bike, so I'm not going to invest in another one right now, but I have learned all about it, and I'll share that with you.
Yep. Exactly. And again, watch the show and you'll find out. The other one is we're going to be visiting at the Humane Society.
Oh,
it seems like a lot of baby boomers have pets.
For sure. And I'm going to see that and want to adopt one because I lost mine.
Yeah, they want you to
year.
Do that.
Yeah,
that's
I'm sure
the plan.
They do. Cool. I love that. Wonderful.
But and we're going to do a cooking segment with Kim Galahad.
I love it. Galiaz.
Galiaz. Thank you. She's probably going to smack me.
No, she will not. She's too nice.
No, I know. She's super nice. But she's a great, she knows
registered
about
dietitian. And yeah. Smart lady.
Thank you. I'll shut up and let you talk, and I can't say her name. But anyway, Kim is a great gal.
She is.
So, yeah, that's our show, May 1st. Check it out. We got another surprise segment in there as well.
I like surprises.
Yeah.
So I'll be tuned in.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, Boomer TV, a new season, WFYI, 7:30 Tuesday nights. But we're always grateful that you listen to the radio show, too. So thanks for listening to Boomer Radio today and each and every Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Have a great weekend.